You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Edith. Hey, Bear. And welcome to ENN on this, a Thursday evening. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Oh, my God.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don. And I'd like to say good evening to myself.
Michael, okay.
I don't know if I need to play that. That's...
Oh, my God.
That's really the one right there.
Oh, my God.
Good news, guys. Call Danny in Long Island, on Long Island, immediately. The Steelers have brought back Ben Roethlisberger. New contract for 2021. He was able to come to terms, according to Adam Schefter. He reduced his pay to $14 million from $19 million. I think he'll still get by. And spread the cash payment through 2022, so it lowered their cap hit by over $15 million. Quote, "It's my greatest honor to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and give all for this organization." Big Ben turned 39 earlier this week. 33 touchdowns and 10 interceptions last season after major elbow surgery. I got to tell you, I would not have believed those stats. In my opinion, watching Ben Roethlisberger over his entire career, I never would believe any of his stats that are good. It never feels that pretty, but he's still puts up numbers.
But
I just was not impressed this year when I watched him.
But much like Russell Wilson, a really tough close to the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially for Pittsburgh, they were 11-0. And Danny, they looked nothing like it. Down the stretch.
Danny wasn't that thrilled. He had called earlier and we never got to him, but it's said, you know, I really didn't care if he came back or not.
Well,
I'll tell you what, he comes back, they got a better chance to win than if they have Mason Rudolph.
Or Dwayne Haskins.
But I can understand that the clock is ticking. He's on the 18th hole here, and I can understand a Steeler fan thinking, all right, what's our exit strategy here? Because I don't think that team is winning a Super Bowl anytime soon, and certainly not with Ben.
I don't know, though. I feel like the Steelers go into every season assuming it's Super Bowl time.
But no, but it's a testament to their organization that they don't completely fall flat on their face. They're kind of like the Yankees that way, right? That they're
always there.
They're always right there. They're able to kind of rebuild on the fly. They did it when they brought Roethlisberger in. You know, they went from Maddox to Roethlisberger and didn't miss anything. I mean, Roethlisberger's rookie year, I think they were 15-1. You know, so... He's a terrific quarterback for a terrific organization, but you know I don't think they're going to go 2-14. But I don't think they're winning a championship either. And I think it's past. So I can understand Danny and a lot of Steeler fans. All right, what are we doing here? What's next?
Let's be honest. If they made a serious upgrade at quarterback, you still wouldn't be picking them to do that much next year, would you?
No, especially in that division where you've got Baltimore and Cleveland. I mean, that's tough.
And they don't have any cap room. I mean, they had to make this move.
Right.
They had no cap room whatsoever. So it's going to be hard to improve.
So a study has been done.
What's the study? Tell us.
Well, it's related to COVID, okay? And it was published by JAMA Cardiology, J-A-M-A, Cardiology. 5 of 789 professional athletes infected with COVID-19 were later found to have suffered inflammatory heart disease, according to the study on the cardiac impact of the virus in sports. They followed 789 infected players last year between May and October. 30 athletes had abnormal test results and were referred to a cardiac MRI. Doctors diagnosed 5 cases of inflammatory heart disease, 0.6% of the total, including 3 cases identified as myocarditis and 2 as pericarditis. All 5 of the cases of cardiac illness included symptoms that exceeded empirical definitions of mild COVID-19 illness. So basically, this study is supposed to make you feel better that while we got to be entertained by pro sports, only a handful of athletes were deeply affected directly by getting COVID.
So that's...
Sucks if you're that 5, though, huh?
Well, yeah, but you're talking about a rate of 0.6. When is 0.6 going to ever stop you from doing something? Right?
That's a great point, Tom.
I mean, what are the odds of a NASCAR driver getting killed in a race or suffering a catastrophic injury? I bet you it's more than 0.6 during an entire season.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of sports where the risk is higher than 0.6.
You know, and again, I'm not listen, I don't want to be the 0.6. But what I'm asking is when everybody says we can't play, we've got to stop playing, I think it'd be interesting to do the math on a lot of things that we do, fly in a plane, drive a car on the highway, a construction worker working on the site, like what their percentages are of suffering a serious injury. And I would think that 0.6 falls into that, you know, serious injury category. We might be surprised at things that we do every day that might have a greater risk.
By the way, what a city we live in at times. Do you know what the front page headline of the New York Post is right now?
No, what?
Rudy Giuliani's daughter Caroline graphically details why she loves threesomes.
Well, this is the newspaper industry. I know Michael cringes every time that's
said.
No.
That's whoa. She wrote that story for Vanity Fair. The Post just picked up a story she wrote for Vanity Fair.
But the Post didn't have to put it on their cover.
It's the top story at this moment. Don't blame Vanity Fair.
Why?
Because Vanity Fair, I'm sure, didn't make it the cover.
Why?
I'm sure they, well, they probably have it as an interesting little read there. But then the New York Post comes out and goes, we could get clicks. Let's make this. And then they have a picture of Rudy screaming like a maniac.
Aren't they? Let's break this down for the people. You guys you're taking your shots like the two clowns in the Muppet movie in the upper reaches of the theater. You're the New York Post. You're trying to sell papers. Rudy Giuliani's daughter says she takes part in threesomes. You don't think that is what you'd put on the cover? So if you're walking to get a train and you see that you wouldn't buy? You're going to criticize the New York Post for doing something to sell their newspaper?
I'm just stating a fact, Michael, that's where it is now. It's all just about, you know, clicks and selling the paper. Journalistic integrity goes out the window.
It's always been about selling the paper. I worked there and the front page headline was Headless Man in Topless Bar.
I understand that. But now I think it's gotten to the extreme because this is what you have to resort to when there's so much competition out there. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just stating a fact.
But I would disagree with you. I believe that it's always been that way. When the Dodgers beat the Yankees in 1955, the headline in the Daily News was "Dem Bums." I mean, is that, you know, like Pearl Harbor gets bombed? No, you do things to sell newspapers. You guys are being silly.
I think we're all on the same page here. I don't think anybody's being silly. I'm just saying that.
Well, but there are other people to sell newspapers without.
You don't
necessarily think
that story is salacious enough that it would sell newspapers?
I do.
Rudy Giuliani, a former mayor of the city, a personal lawyer of the ex-president, his daughter, who has said that she didn't like the ex-president, writes that she has taken part in threesomes.
I don't
think that's front page worthy.
I think it's sad that's what you have to resort to sell papers when you've got the governor of this state 5 minutes from possibly resigning. We're in the middle of COVID.
Well, every single day of the last 2 weeks, they've had Cuomo on the cover.
I'm just... I
don't know that I understand the logic of it seems convenient that your support of it is, well, that's what they've always done to sell papers.
But
I mean,
no, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, but you guys are acting like you're outraged, like it's never been done before. It's
been
done in the history of tabloids forever. Good tabloids, that's what they do. They put something salacious on the front cover so that people will buy it. I don't think that Rudy Giuliani's daughter is going to be on the front page of the New York Times today.
I'm willing to guarantee that.
God, by the way, Carlin has released his top five while he said that you should resign.
Okay.
Number five, 48 Hours.
Okay.
Number four, Harlem Nights.
Okay.
Number three, Beverly Hills Cop Trilogy. Number two, Trading Places. And number one, Coming to America.
See, now, ridiculous. First of all, why would you have the trilogy in the top five when I think everybody believes that three was garbage?
Thank you, Don.
All right? So that's fraudulent there. I mean, Peter wanted to put Harlem Nights in because I think that that's a movie that a lot of people do like, but it was universally panned.
What's his number two?
His number two is Trading Places, which was your number three.
Okay.
It's not that different that he's asking you to resign.
But I'm going to ask him to resign because that's not what a top five is about, to combine three movies, and everybody believes that three is just not good.
Besides the fact that you can't combine movies on a movie list. I mean, it's kind of absurd.
And also, nobody has ever said Beverly Hills Cop Trilogy.
Yeah, it's a shameful list.
Right, you got. Listen,
you know what? I'm
going to
call on Carlin. I want to call on him to resign.
But coming from someone that asked Peter to resign because of his list and then have the trilogy at four, it's not the Godfather trilogy.
Yeah, but nobody liked the Godfather 3.
But do you know what? The Godfather 3 makes Beverly Hills Cop 3 look like a home video that Marco and Jalen just accidentally grabbed the camera and played with it for 3 hours.
Thank you very much. The very underrated Godfather 3.
So you guys are taking shots at
Godfather
3.
See, this is the thing with Godfather 3 that drives me crazy. It pales in comparison to the other two. That's why people think it's garbage. It was up for Best Picture.
Sure was.
Well, I think the thing that really hurt it was Sofia Coppola.
Oh, she killed it.
Was not a good actress at that
point. She might as well have just spilled coffee on the reels.
Right.
Well, it was supposed to be Winona Ryder.
That's right.
For some reason, she had a bow out.
So much better.
But it's overstated in terms of her ruining the movie. Yes, she's bad, but she's not that much of the movie where it ruins the whole thing. I think Andy Garcia.
She's a central figure in the movie.
Yeah, but it's not. It's a three-hour movie. She doesn't ruin three hours of movie.
It was rough, Peter. It was rough. I do think the movie does. Standing by itself is still a good movie. But when I was in the theater, and she gets shot. They cheered. They cheered in the theater. Like, it was bad. It was really bad.
I believe Andy Garcia was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
It was, but you're comparing it to maybe two of the most perfect movies ever made. So it stands no chance. But standing alone, it's not Beverly Hills Cop 3.
So Chris, you guys are ripping the Big Fella.
Yeah,
is the Big Fella coming on later?
No, because he's not working today.
That's right.
That's a shame. Because I would have loved to have given him a piece of my mind.
No, you can have him on if you like.
When?
We'll have him on later if you like.
I mean, because have him come on anyway. Make him earn his check tonight.
Wow.
Absurd for him to come after me for that list. Disgusting. Another person who feels similarly to how I feel about Chris Carlin, about the NBA referees, is Donovan Mitchell. Very upset with the Jazz officiating. Especially after Utah's 131-123 loss to Andrews 76ers.
That kept the Nets out of first place, by the way, though it's that terrible officiating.
Let's hear from Donovan Mitchell.
Tough to go out there and see how we fight and compete and to have a game like that taken from us. And I'm never, ever one to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. You know, there have been games like this that we've won. There have been games like this that we've lost. But this whole refereeing stuff, and we're nice. We don't complain. We don't get frustrated. You know, we fight through things. And the fact that we just continually get screwed in a way by this, we won this game. In my personal opinion, you know, but like I said, I'm gonna give them credit. They won, whatever, cool. But like, this is it's a consistent thing. And, you know, the question is, can we do it? Can we sustain it? Are we for real number one? Like, yeah, the hell we are. And it's getting ridiculous, KK, that this is what's happening. You know what I mean? We have a whole second half of the season to go and get ready for, but like, I'm sick of it. To be honest with you, we all are.
Now, did you see the one play that he's really particularly complaining about?
No, can you take us through it?
Wow. So he's got the ball on the left block, and he starts to dribble across the lane, and I forget who's guarding him, and he just spins on the guy, and the guy had his arm locked over Donovan Mitchell's arm, and then Donovan Mitchell pulls his arm out of the lock that he had, and the guy just moves back a little, and they called an offensive foul, and it was not anywhere close to an offensive foul, and the Jazz win the game if that's called correctly. It was a terrible call.
I'm watching it right now.
I mean, where's the foul there, Peter?
They called an offensive foul. I mean, that's a horrifying, horrifying call.
I think he might want a defensive foul. I don't even know if it's a defensive foul, but it's clearly defensive because he locked his arm. But no way is it offensive. If anything, it's a no call.
The only call there, if you have to have one, is a reach.
Right. It would be defensive foul.
That's not good. Kendrick Perkins was on with Shanae and Golic Jr. And here's KP talking about how sensitive refs can be in the NBA.
I think the referees need to have, you know, some type of guidelines where they get penalized. And they can't be sensitive to things. Montrezl Harrell got a tech last night for screaming and one. I think Adam Silver and the NBA need to address it because refs are being too sensitive. I can understand if someone just keeps going or they may charge you up or fight or something to that nature. Yeah, it may deserve an ejection, but guys doing a little boxing, like, you got to let that go. People are not paying their hard-earned money to, one, go to games now that we could go. Two, to watch the games. They don't want to watch the refs. Like, you cannot be kicking out stars.
See, now, I essentially agree with him. But I don't agree when people say you can't kick out a star. If a star does something that legitimately warrants being kicked out, he has to be kicked out.
Right, but and one shouldn't
and
be
And one is not a reason to kick somebody out. But I don't – you can't go to the other extreme and say you just cannot because people pay to see a specific player. You can't kick them out. Well, that means that player has carte blanche to say whatever they want. No, but and one is a joke. That official should be suspended for actually throwing somebody out for saying and one. Imagine the parks around New York City. But the parks around New York City where everybody would be thrown out of the parks. That's all people say in parks is N1.
N1 is just not offensive at all.
Unless he thought he said something else. I don't know.
Yeah, unless a player or coach is directly coming at the official and cursing, I don't see how they tech people up. They've been giving people tees for yelling at their own teammates.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Just Mike on Twitter just tweeted out, my son just asked me, why is Santa Claus wearing a blue shirt?
Oh, no.
So Mike's kid thinks Don is Santa Claus.
Well, I think that his parents should sit him down and show him what Santa Claus looks like.
Well, you have a white beard and you have white hair.
I do not have a beard.
Long white hair.
I have a goatee.
Santa wears a goatee in the off season.
And I have no hat. My hair is not completely white. I mean, I think these parents need to really show him what Santa Claus looks like. But you know what? Santa Claus is a great guy. And you know what? I'm going to show you.
Okay.
Look at that. You have to put a pillow underneath that sweater, buddy.
No, he's not saying you're fat. Your face with the white hair.
You're not fat. Your face is.
No. First of all,
Santa
Kurt Russell
is fat,
plays Mike. Santa Claus in a movie.
Why can't you say, why didn't he say Sam Elliott?
I don't know. By the way, Peter, latest tweet from Carlin, do the right thing, resign, Rosenberg Radio.
No. You cannot put the Beverly Hills Cop trilogy at 4 and not step down yourself.
Yeah, I'm not resigning. I want you to resign.
Didn't he?
What was that, Michael?
He had it at 3.
Yeah, 3. The trilogy. What a joke.
Come on. Are you kidding me? Now, 2 is great as well. But
Mike,
three.
Michael, by the way, why the casual fare for you today? I mean, you're dressed like you're, I don't know.
Like you know what?
Working a taxi stand.
I wasn't in the mood today. Wasn't in the mood to do anything today.
Well, neither was I, but I knew that it's Thursday, and tomorrow for casual Friday, I'm going to wear something very comfortable. But I might come
on the show tomorrow with a tux. I don't look at casual Friday like you. I think this is a lovely shirt. This is a shirt that I wore when Callie was born.
Well, that's a very touching story. You should write it on the front of the shirt. But that's the thing. Casual Friday is different for me than you because of the way I destroy you every day, Monday through Thursday.
Listen, I'm not trying to compete with you. You know, you have an advantage over me. You could shop at the children's shop. I can't. I'm a 48 long. So you have a much more wide swath of clothing from which to choose.
This was a slap fight. I slap you, you slap me. Then all of a sudden, Michael comes out with a bazooka. Bang. Over. What happened there?
Oh, Michael.
Don, you think that was wrong, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to know what makes it even more wrong?
What's that?
My friend is in the process right now of sending Michael K. suits. I arranged it for him. I'm sending him gorgeous clothing, and he's attacking me and saying I shop in the
first
the
of all. I'm somewhat dubious about you said they were being sent 2 weeks ago. Unless they're being sent via the Pony Express, I don't think they're coming.
Well, people have to like go searching to find your monster size. I mean, you're not normal.
So my
human.
Point is proven. You don't have to search. You could go to the Garanimal store. You could go to any place and get what
See?
You need.
Then the Cole Millers are coming by boat.
I don't understand the reference, but yeah, I can shop at a regular store. I'm a 40 regular or short. I can do either one.
What are you all of a sudden, DiPietro? He's a natural human being. He's not short. He's not fat. He's a normal sized person. You're the one that's got a problem.
You're a freak. You're a genetic
How am I a freak?
Freak.
I'm 6'4", 225. That's not a freak. That's perfect.
Perfect for what?
Yeah. Perfect for being
not if you have to hide from a bad guy. It's not perfect. Your head's going to be sticking out the top, pal.
Why the head joke?
Paul O'Neill. Obviously, the head is the top of your body, and that's what would be exposed if you hid behind a bush. If we're playing hide and seek, you're like the giraffe in Peppa Pig.
Why are you ripping me? I didn't say anything to you.
Because it was just an honest little back and forth, and you just got to come down with the hammer.
But why would I do a slap fight when I could knock somebody out? I'm not going to slap fight when I could actually throw a roundhouse right and crush his skull.
I got to tell you, Michael, I think you dress fabulously. Right now, during this tail end of the pandemic, Peter is just, he's humbled you.
Peter has a beautiful jacket on today.
His wardrobe is better than yours.
Right now. Right but now,
Peter's jacket today is top of the line. But again, he has an advantage. He could take a jacket off a Ken doll and use it.
See, he just won't stop, Don.
It's not right.
It's just not. You know what? Let's move on because I'm getting offended. I'm getting deeply right. offended.
I would crush his skull.
Now, last night, a man who definitely doesn't fit into a 40 regular or even a 48 long, Shaquille O'Neal made his debut in the wrestling ring for AEW, which airs on TNT. So Shaq has been doing a little story with Cody Rhodes, and it resulted in this happening last night on Dynamite.
Big swing and a miss, and Cody with the poke in the eyes. Now Cody!
Cody on the top! Oh my God, good God almighty! The tables are everywhere! People are shattered! It's incredible! This crowd's going wild!
Shaq went through two tables last night in his wrestling debut.
Now, and not buffets, actual tables.
Actual tables.
I saw that, right? I saw a clip of that. And Shaq has more money than most people on this earth.
Oh, that's just for fun.
But you could get hurt. I mean, Shane McMahon has gotten hurt with the things that he's done.
Well, these guys do a lot
of things that you can get hurt.
Yeah, but don't worry. Shaq ain't doing anything on Shane's level. Don't you worry. Shaq did a bunch of chest slaps.
Yeah, when he went flying off the ring and his back went against the table, you tell me you can't hurt your back?
No, of course you could hurt yourself. He fell straight backwards through two tables, and his head came pretty close to the rail because he's so tall. No, there's certainly a risk to it. But listen, you can't put a price on fun, Kaster.
I guess.
He seemed to be having a ball. Not to mention, I'm sure the guys on Inside the NBA are going to enjoy this footage forever. An interesting article on ESPN.com about the best dunkers in the history of every NBA franchise to get us ready for All-Star Sunday, which is going to have not only the All-Star game, but also the dunk contest and the three-point shootout. So ESPN ranked the best dunkers in every franchise as voted on by fans of those teams. Three teams had a dunker at 100% of the vote. I would like you guys to just give it a shot before we put a bow on this thing.
Three people, 100% of the vote of...
the best dunker in the history of their franchise.
I would say Dominique Wilkins in Atlanta.
You know what? He was not 100%. I was actually surprised by that.
Well, Jordan in Chicago.
That is correct.
Dr. J in Philly.
Incorrect.
Really?
Not Dr. J. Though he did well on two teams.
Spud Webb in Atlanta?
No, it was Dominique. He just wasn't 100%. He was 95%. Spud Webb is the reason he wasn't 100, Michael.
Okay, okay.
So the easiest one was Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, the next two, but especially one of them, you'll go, oh, yeah, of course that makes perfect sense. But they're both hard to think of.
Larry Nance, Cleveland.
No.
I didn't need the buzzer, Anthony. Thanks.
Cedric Ceballos in Phoenix.
Wow, no. One of these guys was active until very, very recently. In fact, exactly 1 year ago.
Vince Carter?
That is correct. 100% for Vince Carter in Toronto.
Ah.
How about Dwight Howard in Orlando?
Nope. One more. Here's a hint. The generation before Dwight Howard. You're one level too modern. But this is a guy who when you hear it, you're going to go, yep, never saw anyone do it like him on that team. He was different. I would say Andrew, would you agree he's probably as known for dunking, like mid-game dunking, as anyone ever?
A great in-game dunker. And also the first NBA jersey that I ever owned.
Wow.
All right, so who is the broke the backboard in Philadelphia?
No, it's not Daryl Dawkins.
it's not a Sixers jersey, actually.
If you give the team, would it give it away?
Yep, instantaneously.
Instantaneously?
Yep. Right, Andrew?
I think so, yeah.
So Shaq in Orlando?
Nope.
How about Sean Kemp in Seattle?
There it is! Beautifully done. Probably cheated, but beautifully done. Sean Kemp, Michael Jordan, and Vince Carter. And by the way, speaking of Michael Jordan, on this day 4 years ago.
So with that note, I want to welcome Coach for all that. The hard work and the dedication he's done for the football team and a lot of the players here tonight, I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen. Let's keep moving forward.
Oh, my God. That's
4 years. Congratulations.
4 years ago.
Wow. Time is flying.
It's not even normal or right, but the ceiling is the roof.
It makes no sense.
And that will do it for E. N-N
that really was
Thursday.
4 years ago, Peter?
I believe so. That's what I read earlier today.
It doesn't seem, Don, it seems like last year or 2 years ago.
Andrew, am I wrong about that, or was it 4 years ago?
I'll check now.
Everything was over a year ago, because if it didn't happen during the pandemic, that's like a year. It seems more like three than four.
No, 2017.
Wow. I mean, just wow. I will come back. Maybe we'll get the big fella on the air.
Yeah, he's got some explaining to do.
All right, so stick around for that. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.